Hi, and welcome to Forest of the Future, the podcast where we explore innovation, sustainability, and FSC's ever-evolving approach to responsible forestry. Today, we are going to talk about how we measure impact. How do we know that our system has the effect that we think it has on certified forests? We as a system and organization have committed to making our solutions more focused on verifying just that and delivering proof. We call this shift outcome orientation. And today we are going to talk about the progress in that shift because recently a lot of things have happened. In particular, we will be discussing a new concept note for outcome orientation which has been published on the FSC website. And we will touch upon two upcoming consultations for procedures on how national standards are developed and what they contain, and hence, how do we implement impact evaluations on the ground in the future in the FSC system. I'm joined by Frank Trolliott, who's FSC's Program Manager for Monitoring and Evaluation, and Arildo Diaz. He is a newcomer to the FSC team as a monitoring and evaluation manager. So why don't we just get started? Let's uncover what outcome orientation really means, what the proposed changes are, and learn a bit more about the future of impact measurement at FSC. Hi, and welcome back, Frank. Can we just start by you explaining to us what outcome orientation means in the context of FSC? Why is that such a significant shift with the organization?
Yes, so outcome orientation should be understood as a way to develop and implement standards in FSC, part of the normative framework. So this covers many standards, but the main focus should be on forest stewardship standards. And basically what outcome orientation means is that standards should be developed and implemented with a strong focus on a few key intended outcomes. So such outcomes can be understood as sustainability topics, as things that we want to achieve on the ground in the forest, whether it is about social, economic, or environmental aspects. And outcome orientation should allow making those intentions, those sustainability outcomes, very explicit in the standards and monitored. So it should really allow to track and quantify progress towards these outcomes, if not demonstrating the achievement of those outcomes. So it's really about making a focus and getting data, getting evidence about some change, some improvements regarding sustainability issues in the forest.
Okay, so it sounds like picking a few things, saying if we have proof in a forest management certification that we can measure these things in the forest, then we know that it's sustainable. Is that correctly understood?
In a nutshell, yes. Maybe saying that it's sustainable is maybe a big jump. So yes, it is FSC's mission to promote sustainable forest management. But when is something sustainable is the first big question. So the idea is really to first define what we want to achieve and then define what to monitor and how to do this monitoring so we can track progress towards this intention, right? Whether we achieve sustainability after a year or 5 years or 10 years, that's the thing we don't really know today. So it's really about integrating a kind of scientific approach in tracking what's happening on the ground.
So getting to a point where we can actually prove whether we have an impact or not across all certificates?
Exactly.
How does this differ from what we're doing today with certification and impact?
Well, it differs quite a lot. With outcome orientation, we are integrating two things. One is certification. The other one is monitoring and evaluation, which is what I've been doing in FSC for some years now. How does that differ? On the first component, certification, it differs because we will not only have requirements for forest management, looking at practices, good practices, things that forest managers can do or cannot do. So we will complement such requirements, which have lots of values, with such outcome-oriented requirements. That's quite a big shift, because as I just said before, we will have this notion of monitoring, which will be more scientific, more enhanced to have really data and evidence. So that's one change. But also on the other components, so the monitoring and evaluation aspects, what we've been doing to date with monitoring and evaluation and what we will continue doing is to have project-based monitoring and evaluation, meaning that we have to select a given topic, we have to select a given region or a given country, and then we would find a way to get data. So that could be done internally. That could be done with the help of consultants or researchers that we pay, and you know, who we send to the field to get some data, and then we get some results and we can learn about and communicate about outcomes and impacts of FSC certification. We will continue to do so because, again, there are many values and we can really go into the details and try to understand why things have changed, no, comparing FSC with non-FSC forests. Yet, this is really not a solution to upscale impact demonstration globally, because this takes lots of time, lots of resources. It's usually quite long to do. And with so many topics covered by the principles and criteria, and with more than 80 countries, with more than 150 million sectors of certified forests around the world, it is not something we can just continue doing, hoping to be able to demonstrate the value of forest stewardship globally. Outcome orientation is really a way to fill this gap and to really fast track and enhance the evidence around the impact of FSC certification.
Mm. Who will this benefit in the market? Like, how will it help value chains become more compliant with upcoming regulations? How will it help forest owners? Like, how does this help the market?
So it will help different stakeholders at different levels and over time also. The immediate benefits will be for FSC because we will gather more robust data that we can use to learn about the effects of certification. That will have then two direct applications. The first one is that we will be able to improve standards to make them more impactful using data, facts, evidence. So now you need to think really in terms of the standard revision process. So every 5 years, the standards, especially when we speak about the forest stewardship standards, needs to be revised. And the outcome orientation will really help us to have more evidence about the effects of specific requirements. So we could confirm whether requirements are effective and impactful and generate benefits or positive outcomes, but we could also identify some problems or some requirements which are not really effective and now have really evidence on how to improve them. That's one aspect. So on the long run, we could make FSS forest stewardship standards more impactful, more directed towards generating positive outcomes. So that should benefit then certificate holders because we might be able to maybe remove requirements which are not really impactful, but yet costly. And then in parallel, when we have proof of positive outcomes being generated on the ground, we can promote this, we can communicate this more confidently. And so benefits the FSC system, right, on the markets at the global level, but also in different countries that could support marketing initiatives, communication material, and so on. To your question of whether this will help stakeholders in being compliant with new regulations, that's a really interesting question. We don't have a direct definitive answer because there are many reporting frameworks and different initiatives. Those are themselves not necessarily aligned. We also sometimes don't have clarity on what should be reported. So we are just back from the COP16 in Colombia on biodiversity. Everyone is asking about, oh, but how exactly should we be monitoring, reporting biodiversity outcomes? So there are requirements about conservation areas, for example. But again, that does not say much about biodiversity benefits on the ground. So then there are many metrics here out there that we can use, but there is no alignment. So many question marks. What outcome orientation should help with in the first place is to have a robust scientific approach of monitoring key topics in different countries, allowing to have data that can be used for different purposes. And time will tell to which extent those data can directly be used for, is it CSRD, is it EUDR, is it Green Claim Directive? There are many initiatives, so it's difficult to say now, but the world is evolving in that direction to have more evidence of impacts, and we need to increasingly to substantiate. So company needs to prove, to demonstrate the impact they have on natural resources.
What I'm hearing you say, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, is actually, let's first get started with actually collecting some of that data, and then we'll figure out how we make it fit to the different legislations, the different reporting requirements coming up. But we need to get the data first, and then we can always say, well, this fits in that box in that regulation, and this fits in that box in that regulation. Is that, am I overinterpreting you here?
A little bit. As of today, there is no way to say what exactly we should be doing. We are monitoring what's happening with the Convention on Biological Diversity. We are monitoring what's happening with CSRD and so on. All that put aside, we have an increasing need to demonstrate the value, the impact of certification for sustainability topics. That's right on the, good direction.
Well, you know me. I always dream ahead. Arildo, welcome to FSC and welcome to the podcast. This is your first podcast that you're on. You are a new member in the monitoring evaluation team. So I'd like to ask you, with your fresh eyes on all of this, what has struck you the most about FSC's commitment to outcome orientation?
The fact that the organization is trying to move towards direction for me signalizes that it's a kind of thinking ahead and in deeper think in terms of how FSC can evolve and can do better in the future. So I think this perhaps is what have highlighted more for me since I have joined the organization.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked with this kind of area before in your previous role?
Not at all. With the standards, no. I'm pretty much from an academic background, although, yeah, a lot of my interest, my research is towards this idea of monitoring, developing ways to monitor, to assess biodiverse ecosystem service. Yeah, but more from this perspective of how we do this, implement, collect the data in the field, analyze and this kind of stuff, but not too much in terms of setting the standards.
No, well, I bet you still have a lot of relevant input to how we might do it in reality and at scale then. Frank, if I bring it back to you, because I know that people listening to this would want us to be tangible. Like, what does this mean? Can you give specific examples of how are you thinking that we might measure carbon or biodiversity or social or financial outcome? What would indicators in a standard look like?
My first answer is that FSC International will not be the one institution or body really deciding on all of that, deciding on what to monitor and what those indicators should be. That would be, first, very complex and difficult to capture what is important in different countries, but also not fair because we don't know about all those important topics in different countries. No? There is just too much. So we have a bit of uncertainty at the moment because we do want to have local experts to define exactly what should be monitored and how, which will bring a lot of value into what we get at the end. But for example, if today we have requirements, and you can really think in terms of what we have in the principles and criteria and the international generic indicators. If those requirements are often, as I said before, about practices, good practices, for example, to protect biodiversity, and this is me saying, but that's kind of the implicit intention, we need to set aside 5 or 10% of the management units of the forest, the certified forest, as set aside, right, as protected area for biodiversity. This is done, and even if this is done correctly, this is checked by CBs, certification bodies, but we don't really know the impact. We don't really know if it works. So in that direction, on that specific example, you can think of in the future having more outcome-oriented indicators that would involve the monitoring of the presence of rare and threatened species in those conservation areas. Or to keep it a bit more simple, it could be about characterizing the quality of those conservation areas, so quality of the habitats. Going beyond, it could even be looking at the abundance of species. So that's one example about biodiversity. Another one could be about health and safety. So currently we have requirements to make sure that there is training about health and safety for forest workers. They also need to have safety equipments. But what is really the outcomes of that? So can we maybe track, monitor, quantify the number of accidents and how many days have been lost because of work-related accidents? So that in itself is maybe not so easy and to communicate about. We won't say, oh, it's great, we just had 10 accidents. But we could set some baselines, some average for a given country or given region, and maybe track progress in FSC Forest against those values, or maybe compare with data we have outside FSC Forest. So really to see if there is something that is positive over time, positive across forests, across countries. But it comes down to, what are those key topics that stakeholders in different countries want to achieve and want to monitor and better understand what's happening?
Paraphrasing a bit, you're saying the big shift is moving away from having a check mark. Do we have protected areas or not? Yes, no, check mark box, to saying, okay, we have protected areas. What is the actual impact of that? I can't help but think, because it sounds like all of these will be national indicators. It's the national standard setting group that will define them. Are there none of them that would be like within this area, there's a global benchmark, there's a global standard for which, for example, we measure carbon? Is there none of them that would be consistent across all of the standards, or are they all nationally adapted?
That's a really good question. And as we speak, we are figuring out how to strike the best balance. We do not want to have too much variation across countries that would prevent any aggregation across countries or at a global scale. And that would be too bad. The opposite is also very challenging, because if we have only globally consistent indicators and things to monitor, yes, it would facilitate communication about FSC as a whole. It would facilitate monitoring and data collection. So you can think of using some indicators of forest quality with remote sensing satellites, imagery, things like that. But we would not be able to capture what's important in those countries and to consider, to integrate the local context. Is it a plantation? Is it a natural forest? Is it a tropical or boreal forest? Now, all those differences across countries makes them, the definition of intended outcomes, the monitoring, quite different. What we will for sure explore is how to monitor key topics across regions, across countries, globally, with ARILDO, and likely we're using some modern technologies like remote sensing to have this kind of global benchmarking. We will also monitor external developments with, again, the CBDs and other reporting initiatives to see if there are some globally accepted indicators or metrics to be checked, to be monitored. If yes, then we will make sure to consider them. But we do really want to be locally relevant. We do want to understand the impact of different standards in different countries. Now, we know that if we take the example of, I don't know, indigenous peoples in many countries, it is irrelevant, but very, very important in other countries. We need to accept that things are different in different places and that we cannot always be consistent in what we monitor and how we do it.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it will be a good mixture of global, regional, national. Maybe that's a good stepping stone into talking a bit about what are the immediate next steps in making all of this a reality. How do we turn it from a concept note of what the world could look like in terms of measuring FSC's real impact to how are we integrating this?
So as you just mentioned, we have a concept note, which is now finalized. This is accessible on FSC website. The concept note really describes the high-level concepts and where we envision it to be deployed as per the normative framework, so the different standards and procedures. Now, in terms of immediate next steps, what is coming is a public consultation on a procedure, the procedure 60006 and its addendum 60006A, which regulates the process for developing forest stewardship standards, and the addendum governs how exactly those FSS should be structured and what they should contain.
FSS?
Forest stewardship standards. For the forest management standards.
I have to remind you.
We have
all of our acronyms.
So we have the principles and criteria, which are globally applicable. In each country, we have different FSS, which take those principles and criteria, and also the international generic indicators, those can be locally adapted to fit the local conditions. And there is this procedure which defines how exactly those FSS can be developed and how exactly they should be structured and what they should contain. This is being revised now. And as part of this revision, we integrate the concept of outcome orientation. So there will be a public consultation early next year in 2025, where we present new clauses, so new requirements for those working groups, those bodies responsible to revise or to develop this FSS, the Forest Stewardship Standards. And we have a few requirements for them to, for example, define the key intended outcomes. So for now, we start with 3 to 5. And this is also something we are putting out for consultation. Do we need more? Do we need less? But the starting point is 3 to 5 key intended outcomes for the entire FSS. And for each intended outcome, we also want the working group to define requirements for defining what to monitor and how to monitor it. So what I just described before, but this is coming very clearly in some clauses that are coming out for consultation. So people can really input on this suggestion to deploy outcome orientation.
You just mentioned the principles and criteria, Frank, and them being revised. How do you see the principles and criteria and their revision and then this whole procedure going out for consultation and implementation? How does those two things link in terms of making sure that we actually get to measuring impact?
I just spoke about the procedure 6006, and that defines the development of the FSS, the standards, which itself really regulates the final concrete stage of monitoring, right? It addresses the specificities of those outcomes and indicators in different countries. But what we are missing is the overall framework, the overarching thing that would make all those FSS kind of fit together. And this is the PNC. So in the principles and criteria, in the revision process starting now, we are also looking into how to integrate outcome orientation in the PNCs. And the vision that we have, that we will of course also go out for consultation and we will engage the membership and different stakeholders on that, is how do we define intended outcomes? Which intended outcomes do we define at a global level? And for example, we could even think of having each principles and each criteria with one or a few intended outcomes defined that would be globally applicable, that would be relevant for everyone. And so that would be a great opportunity to be explicit about what we want to achieve. Those intended outcomes could serve as the basis, the starting point for the development of FSS. So really to have this overarching global framework where we define intended outcomes, and then the procedure 6006 and the development of FSS would allow those intended outcomes to be defined, to be really implemented, deployed at a local level with those outcome-oriented indicators and what we discussed before. I hope this makes sense.
It absolutely does. So basically saying, okay, we know, for example, that as FSC, we want to have impact on Indigenous people. I'm just pulling one of the principles and criteria out there. So saying we want to make sure that free and fair informed consent is implemented on the ground. And we define, how do we measure that? How do we know that we were successful that in the principles and criteria? But then in the national standard, you go in and you evaluate, is that relevant on our national level? And how do we measure whether we have the impact that we intended to have?
Exactly.
I'm a bit curious because I know all of this is really just suggestions, but can you just share a bit more of what you envision here? I know that when we've talked about this in the past, one of the main worries from forest owners, because they will be the ones who will be doing the work here, that their worry is that we will be asking them to do a lot more work just to be certified. And they're already doing quite a lot. And there's already this whole tsunami of data requirements from different legislation points coming at them. So can you tell us a bit more about how do you envision this from an FSC perspective?
Indeed, as I said before, there is a clear shift in society to be more outcome and data driven, and it is a path that we have to take to keep FSC relevant in the future. And this will involve adding requirements for data collection. Those are very clear and explicit in the procedure that I mentioned and can be consulted during the public consultation. Yet what we do not want is to create a data collection monster. So we don't want certificate holders to be collecting all kinds of data without having a clear need and objective for it. So each intended outcome should really be connected with expected insights. So we should, during the development process of those standards, we should be very clear on what we want to learn, why exactly we need those data, and how we are going to use them, how we are going to analyze them and to report on them. So this is really to make sure that we are not collecting data for the sake of collecting data and that we won't have really value and applications from them. So that's a very important point. We also want to really focus on the few key intended outcomes. We want to focus on what is the most critical, the most important in each country. It can even be within a country if we have different biomes, different forest types, to adapt those intended outcomes or those different outcome-oriented indicators to capture different things. But so we want really to focus on a few things and not to monitor everything. So we would have really to shortlist and to select the few most important things. We are not going to collect data on everything. It is worth saying that some of those outcomes that can be selected then might already be monitored today. So you can think of wages paid to workers. You can think of accidents to forest workers. Those things are not involving complex, sophisticated scientific monitoring methods. It's just about capturing what's happening. And in many cases, that's already done. Even biodiversity, we know that in Brazil, certificate holders spend a lot of effort to monitor biodiversity, like birds and mammals with different technologies. So that is something important to keep in mind, that we will not always need to go to the most complicated approaches for monitoring. And also it is worth saying that FSC will be able to take some responsibility when this is possible. For example, we are now investing quite a lot in remote sensing technologies. So when there are centralized tools like GIS and remote sensing allowing such monitoring with no high cost effectiveness, it's something that we will for sure consider and explore closely with different experts, also with researchers. To wrap up, we really want to focus on a few key intended outcomes, to focus on the few most important things. And we are well aware of the risk of having a data monster and adding burden on certificate holders. We are really interested and motivated to look for the most cost-effective solutions to deliver the most value. So we're really eager to hear also from stakeholders about what would be the best approaches, the best ways to strike the balance between the burden, the cost, and also the values and the needs we get from data.
If we have a few indicators and we need to monitor them, how do you envision that happening? Is that something that happens ongoingly in the forest, or is that something that happens just once a year during the audit? Would those data points be collected throughout the year, or how do we plan on measuring them?
So that will very much depend on what should be monitored. So the question of where and how often in time, is it once a month? Is it once a year? Is it once every 5 years? The question of, is it everywhere in the management unit? Is it only around rivers? Is it only in the conservation area? Is it only where we are harvesting timber? That will need to be defined with the help of local experts for those different topics and outcomes selected during the development of the standard. And we can think of anything possible, right? So if it's straightforward, simple, and cost-effective, then we could think of once a year. But if there is good arguments to make monitoring once every 5 years, and this is giving enough insights, enough information for us to understand what's happening, well, then why not? It's possible. But we have to see on a case-by-case.
There's something I'm wondering, Frank, which I started wondering about when I started preparing for this podcast. We have outcome measurement indicators coming up, which are going to be implemented in all the national forest standards, and then they'll be working in all of the certified forest areas globally. But then we in FSC also have the verified impact certification, which is the certification of protection of ecosystems, which in essence is also measuring impact on a forest level. So how does these two different solutions relate? Do they complement each other, or Does all of these outcome indicators over time replace the need for us to have verified impact certification?
Yeah, very good question. No, I think they do complement each other more than anything else. And I don't think that outcome-oriented FSS or standards in the future will really overlap and create the need to remove verified impact. They are complementing each other in quite some ways. So first of all, verified impact is really about demonstrating the impact of specific companies, certificate holders, about ecosystem services. And there are strict requirements about demonstrating the contribution, right, the impact of those companies, so they are able to make a claim after. And verified impact allows lots of flexibility, but also as regard to the markets. We should see it as an add-on to certification, going beyond certification. And that allows reacting to the market quickly if there is a new trend, a new topic which is important in the region, and there are sponsors for it. Certificate holders and companies can quickly make impact verification and claim their impacts on those topics. Outcome orientation works at a different scale. It's really about looking and learning about the effects of a standard in a given country or a given region or part of this country. So it's really about learning overall about the impacts of FSC certification. And it's not yet about the impact actually, it's really about the outcomes, so the direct effects, describing what's happening in the forest. And that should serve later to do more complex and sophisticated impact evaluation. But that's something else. But so they work at different scale with different objectives.
Okay. I would actually like to transition to you, Aroldo, because you're new. So you have the benefit of fresh eyes on all of this coming in from the side. And I know you come in from a more research-oriented background. But if you put yourselves in the shoes of a forest owner, where do you think that stakeholders might find this transition challenging in the future?
From the perspective of the forest managers, I think maybe one of the main worrying is exactly as mentioned before, the fact that this kind of process toward outcome orientation, the need of have more data collection, this can be at the end a burn and add more cost. For example, I think cost is maybe one of the main causes that the certificate holders, they may have in mind. But I think it's also to think at the same time that they can see this as a cost, increasing cost, but we also need to remember that at the same time, these new technologies, they are also open the possibility for reduce the cost, make things at large scale more efficiently. So how exactly we will combine these technologies and the use of them towards this new outcome orientation, I think it's something that also can bring this possibility. So I think it's important to keep this in mind, although it is perfectly understandable their concern, I mean, at the first sight, I think.
Will that be your role in the team, figuring out how do we make this as easy and cost effective in the future, and how do we make this data flow from certificate holders and into FSC?
I think so, because we want, of course, define in the countries as well. You have the process to define what are the important key insights that we want to get, we want to understand with this new framework. But at the end of the day, as you said, also there is this tension between also in terms of the costs to be more specific, for example. So I think one of the ideas is exactly try to, I mean, how we can balance these things and have something that it's more acceptable from the cost perspective, but also generate the insights that are needed for FSC, understand better how it's impact on the forest and sustainability, forest management and sustainability.
So it sounds like, Aroldo, that part of your role in the team will be to be a bridge that helps guide national standard setting groups and how do they actually do this on the ground? Because the people who are on those groups aren't necessarily people who knows how to collect data points or have experience in data collection, essentially.
Yes, I think so. I think one of the ideas is exactly that during this process of changing toward the outcome orientation, we will have time to develop, for example, guidance material that would be accessible to these persons in the countries that they can use this as a guidance to understand how they can better work with this, but also try maybe see people that are expert in some talks and try to also help in this kind of connection between them. So yeah, but definitely this is something that is quite important because it's a new and somehow difficult concept. I think this kind of guidance or more closely conversation is really needed to help in this matter, I think, yeah.
Mm, and to make sure that what we measure is actually something that has an outcome that we can use.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm. Frank, looking ahead, how do you envision this long-term impact of shifting to measuring impact as a core part of FSC? Like, how will this change the relationship between FSC and certificate holders and stakeholders?
My vision is to have more insights, data-driven, insights-driven capacities to take decisions and to inform decisions, especially when it comes to standard development. So imagine that in the future we have, for a given country, learnings about the few key topics, and we can effectively say if the standards are effective, are achieving what we want them to achieve, and if they are not, we know what to change, how to change them to make them really effective. Yes, and that comes with the data from outcome orientation. This comes with additional data that FSC would have to take some responsibility to drive with researchers. We get different types of data, some very basics about how many forests are certified, then outcome-oriented data describing what's happening, and then we would need to collaborate with researchers that we are already doing to really understand in lots of details why we see the changes, so we can really learn about what's happening on the ground. And to answer your question more directly, it's a new path for FSC to engage with experts and different experts on different topics outside the world of FSC and the world of forestry in different countries.
Mm. And I hope from a market perspective, which is where I'm more set, that it would also mean that the value of an FSC certification becomes amplified because you can also use it for legislative compliance and for showing to the world, to investors, to companies subject to a taxonomy, for example, that the way that you manage your forest actually does make an impact on this world.
Exactly, yeah. So showing FSC as a tool for biodiversity conservation, climate change mitigation, human rights protection, and so on. Yeah, a proven tool. That's the objective.
Wilder, you're joining us right now at a pivotal time where we're just in the midst of this shift that we've talked about for quite a while. I don't remember how long ago I interviewed Frank on this for the first time. I think it's 2-3 years back. And you come from a background of really working with research and collecting data points, etc. What is your personal view upon how outcome orientation might help shape FSC and the broader field of sustainable forest management in the future?
As discussed before, there is this kind of pressure from different sides, the society, the policymakers. They are asking for this kind of outcome orientation, ways to demonstrate impact. But also from the perspective of the forest management, I think will be extremely relevant in the sense that this will help the standards to increase the relevance, in the sense that we have now a system in place that we will enable us to not only collect this data, but also understand what is happening more precisely. I mean, this is also very important because as we collect this data, we learn throughout this process, we will also be able to more effectively and quick response to markets or new legislations, as also mentioned before. So I think from this perspective will be extremely important, this movement from FSC. And I expect that this will increase through the next years, I think, yeah.
Thank you both of you for taking time to talk to me, for enlightening me a bit more on outcome orientation and how we might get to measuring impact. It was really interesting. And I can't wait to hear how our stakeholders react to the consultation on the procedures.
Right. You're welcome, Noah. And thank you for inviting.
Thank you.
That concludes my conversation with Frank and Arildo. Thank you both for joining us today and for offering insights on FSC's journey towards systematically measuring our impact. It's clear that FSC is committed not just to setting standards, but also ensuring that they lead to tangible impact on the ground. I hope that both of their long-term visions become true. Now we get to a point where FSC effectively measure impact. Both so that can make us able to build better standards with more true impact on the ground, but also so that we can support companies and forest owners in easily complying with ever-increasing requests for data and proof of their work. As we look forward, there's no doubt that the work of these two and the team will be essential in keeping FSC's mission relevant and impactful in an ever-evolving world. And as I said to the two as I was wrapping up my conversation with them, in my next life, I want to work for the monitoring and evaluation team of FSC because boy, is their work exciting and full of potential for true and large positive impact on this world. Remember to subscribe to Forest of the Future and get notified of new episodes where we dive into other innovations within FSC and the world of certification and sustainable forest management. You can also always get in touch with me on podcast@fsc.org. I am Laura Worm, and this was Forest for the Future.